Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Good morning, I'm Michelle Martin. The tech sell-off in the U.S. continues with a third straight weekly loss. Are FANG stocks in retreat? Snowflake debuted on the stock exchange last Wednesday with its shares soaring nearly 112% on the first day on the New York Stock Exchange. Today we'll ask, what does its post-IPO activity indicate? The Goldman Rule of 10 for stocks. Have you heard of it? Apparently it helps identify stocks with strong secular performance and growth. We'll take a look at that Rule of 10. And Australia's antitrust regulator says they and Australia's Competition and Consumer Commission want Facebook and Google to pay Australian media companies for the content they use by early October. We cross live to Australia now, where Michael Berman is standing by. He's CEO and founder of Syquation. Syquation is an AI-driven analytics platform that provides traders with insights to improve trading and discover strategies that work for them. Good morning, Michael. Great speaking with you as always.
Absolutely. It's great to be back.
Oh, you're breaking up a little bit, Michael. Hopefully the line holds. If not, we'll have to call you back. But let's take a look at tech. Down from about its peak about 2 months ago by about 10%. Tech is still the best performer year to date. Michael, do you expect the tech market sell-off to continue?
Okay. Michelle, yeah, look, I think it's very important to place this in a little bit of context because, yes, we've seen a retreat of, call it, around 10% from the highs. But we also got to look at and see where it went to. Where is it coming off? So the valuations are extreme. And I think I'd just like to try and paint a little bit of a picture for you so you can get a sense of how extreme the current valuations are.
Okay.
So firstly, the FANGs, which it's Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. So four companies. They comprise 12.5% of the S&P 500. So out of 500 companies, four companies make up 12.5%. So it's the highest ratio of the S&P 500. Since the FANG came into being. So it's been very high, and they've been driving a lot of the markets. But to give you a sense, with our current valuations, the S&P 500 needs to grow 70% over the earnings per share needs to grow over 70% over the next 3 years in order for these valuations to make sense. Mm. So 70% over the next 3 years is massive. So we are pricing in perfection, and I think the markets run a little bit too hard, and hence we're having this pullback. What I'm also interested in at the moment is, just to talk technically for a second, the 50-day moving average. I think it's a very important, this particular moving average is a particularly important one at this moment, because many of the big indexes are pushing or bouncing around this particular level. And the NASDAQ actually has pushed through this, has just gone below it. So I'm expecting the sell-off to continue for a little bit longer. I've been bearish for a long time, and I've been wrong. And I was very happy to see that we're speaking today, and at least I can say the last 3 weeks the market has been behaving as I anticipated.
You know, we've done a lot of shows, Michael, where my analysts say they see parallels between what's happening today and the internet bubble of 2008. We know that history doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. So do you see any comparisons or important differences between today and the tech bubble of 2008?
No. So, I mean, just on that, I'll give you one quick. The forward multiple of earnings, the three-year forward multiple of earnings today is 18 times. Mm. And the last time that ever happened was in 2000. So a normal three-year forward PE is around 13, price-earnings ratio, and it's currently 18. So the last time it did that was at the peak of the tech bubble. So there's definitely a lot of similarities there. Yeah, if I just wanted to add one or two things, what I could argue is driving it. If I had to ask you, does a -0.48% return by buying German 10-year bonds sound appealing? Or if you were offered the French 10-year bond at -0.22%, that sounds interesting. I can go on and on. Even the U.S. 10-year is 0.6%. So there's very little on offer in the income market. Hence, you're not looking for returns, and they're taking more risk.
So you don't buy the narrative, you know, the 5G, the Internet of Things, looking at strengthening the fangs over a long-term horizon. I mean, we've had investors say they see the pullback and they want to buy on weakness. Where do you stand?
Yeah, it's been remarkable. So what I think we've seen with tech is what was anticipated would take place over the next, let's say, 5 years. It's kind of happened in 6 months or 6 months to a year. So we've fast-forwarded the growth anticipated for the next few years. But how do you sustain the valuations when the world itself is not growing? So we're in a global recession. It's robbing from Peter to pay Paul. It's not like the pie is growing as such. So the tech is taking a bigger... but the price is still the same. I don't buy it for. I do think, though, that we are living through a time where we've seen tech introduce a lot of new fancy stuff that will increase productivity and all the rest of it. But we've got lots of problems still to get through before it can continue to grow. In my opinion.
All right, let's talk about Snowflake. Went public on Wednesday to a lot of fanfare, and the most discussed part of the IPO was that pop of about 124%. So how has the Snowflake IPO done since its launch?
It had an incredible start, but just going back a step, we were just talking about technology and the incredible growth it's had. Well, there you go. We had a shock in line. It just shows you there's room for improvement with technology still. So, so what's interesting is Snowflake has come up from a valuation of $12 billion 6 months ago. It was valued at $12 billion 6 months ago. It's had a fivefold increase. As it stands now, it's sitting at a $70 billion valuation. That is massive. So it's grown five times in the last 6 months. And what's impressive, or I don't know if the word if impressive is the right word, but this last year it has lost $348 million, so it loses money. Number one, number two is its revenue sits at around $265 million for the year, so its valuation it has built in enormous growth potential. So I had a look, I took a look. It's got the highest valuation to sales ratio, much higher than even Zoom. So it's got an incredibly high valuation relative to its sales. So it once again, price to perfection. It has no room to make mistakes. But I don't know if you ever watched that series called Silicon Valley.
No, I shall have to watch it.
I need to watch the third season. But it's about these geeks in Silicon Valley, and what they're after is coming up with the best compression technology. So, it runs for about over the last, let's say, 4 or 5 years. So this has definitely been a big thing. It's a big theme in Silicon Valley is the data. There's so much data being generated on a daily basis and storing it and accessing it. And so I think that is the holy grail in Silicon Valley is, I think if anyone finds a stock that has data compression as part of its theme, ways to make it smaller and smaller, is going to do well. So, I mean, Snowflake's in a very, I fully get it. The sector is interesting. It's growth related, all those things. But you know, it has no room to make mistakes. and it needs to really nail growth going forward. So good luck to them. The owners have certainly done incredibly well. I mean, as you said, it went up over 100% on the IPO, doubled on the listing on Wednesday. It's subsequently it's held its value. In fact, at its height, it went to a market cap of $90 billion. And the Amazon, I don't know how many years, I think Amazon was only at $90 billion 5 years, I can't remember the number. But, you know, this is leapfrogged everything.
Incredible. $90 billion on their first day of trading. Just amazing.
Yeah.
And then it dipped, I think, slightly, currently at about $60 billion. All right. On that theme of value, the five biggest stocks, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, Facebook, you mentioned this at the top of our program. They're currently 23% of the S&P 500, the highest concentration in 40 years. But I came across an interesting article, Goldman Sachs, saying that the FANG's leadership is not going to last forever and other high growth stocks have the potential to take some of those top spots. We like looking ahead. Now, Goldman says there's a so-called rule of 10 criteria that they use to identify stocks with strong secular growth that could drive their share outperformance. And these stocks, according to this investing rule, have a track record of at least 10% sales growth during each of the past 2 years and are expected to grow revenue at the same pace for each of the next 2 years. What do you make of this thesis, Michael?
Yeah, look, I had a look at it. I had seen it around, and it definitely. I think in 2017 they were pushing it. You know, the Goldman 10, and it certainly makes sense when you're in a growth orientated market, which we're currently in and have been in for the last while. To me, I mean, it's a solid thesis, but it's out in the public domain. So, you know, does it mean if everyone followed that rule, would everyone do so well? I don't think so. Otherwise, it's never that easy. If one's inclined to want to think, okay, well, let's just follow this Goldman rule and we'll all do really well. It's hard to, you know, you have to really analyze this rule through many, many cycles. And unfortunately, I haven't looked at the data and run a deep analysis over, let's call it, 100 years of using these principles. So, when you're in a growth market and you're using a metric that's growth-orientated, you know, the last 2 years growing above 10% and the forward projection of your growth for the next 2 years being above 10%, you know, that puts you on the list. It makes sense. And what's actually quite interesting is the Wall Street Journal put. I really like Jason Zweig's comments that he writes an article usually once a week about money and investing. And his title on the weekend was "Some Investors Try to Win by Losing Less." They lost anyway. And what was happening there is when we had this sell-off in March, late February, early March, and people the sensible thing to do was we were anticipating real Armageddon was to go towards less risky type of investments and less growth orientated investments, just more solid and stable things. And what's happened is that by the time they rotated into those less volatile stocks, they had already, let's say, worn the cost of they've worn the volatility going down, and then they went into this stable kind of value orientated type of position, and they missed the bulk of the rally. So they landed up with the best intentions trying to be less risky. They landed up becoming more risky because they missed so much of it. So the whole world's been turned, the whole investing world's been turned upside down. We're not geared for this zero interest rate environment. And hence, you know, people doing sensible things have landed up, you know, with unsensible results, if there is such a word.
The majority of the names, I was looking at Goldman's Rule of 10 stocks and their charts, organized according to a couple of five themes, actually, future themes like computerization of healthcare or workflow automation, e-commerce, digital payments, digital transformation of business, advances in life sciences. I think that last one, interesting a lot of investors because, you know, there's so much hope and optimism about a breakthrough when it comes to the coronavirus treatment and vaccine. So do you think, you know, would you agree healthcare stocks, they are seeing superior growth and are we expecting that for the next 2 years?
Yeah, I think this is an exciting sector, but I think this is going to be an extremely volatile sector because what we're going to see is many companies fail with their vaccine or let's say the effectiveness of the vaccine underperform. And we saw that with the Oxford, I forget the name,
AstraZeneca?
Yeah, AstraZeneca was in. So they put some delays, they put it on hold. It's not an easy game getting these things, vaccines approvals and effectiveness and all that. So what could happen is a lot of companies' reputations could be badly damaged when they underperform or they don't achieve what the market's expecting. But on the other side, you're going to see companies that were obscure companies that no one even heard of, who've been working in the background in laboratories, suddenly cracking it and also becoming the next snowflake. So I think healthcare is definitely a very exciting sector to watch. I guess maybe the option market is better because you can hedge your downsides. And I am joining the Robin Hood band and promoting buying options. But at least when you buy call options, you know that you can't lose more than your premium. So if you take a small amount of money and you invest in pharmaceuticals that are pursuing these biotechs that are pursuing groundbreaking medical research, it could have a very interesting payoff.
All right. Let's turn to what's big news emerging from Australia that the rest of the world are looking at. Australia wants Facebook and Google to pay for journalism. Australia has proposed forcing Facebook and Google to pay local media outlets for content, and that's drawn strong opposition from the US companies. It's a dispute that's being watched by regulators and news organizations across the world. Australia's fair trade regulator is saying that the final draft will be out by early October. Australia's top antitrust regulator saying Facebook will be weakened if it stops Australians from sharing news so that the company can avoid paying for content under proposed laws. Has it already happened? Do you still have news in your Facebook feeds?
I still have news, but I know that this will probably happen. The government will get this through the necessary regulatory bodies. Legislation bodies, and it's interesting. You know, Australia is very much quite heavy on regulation. I know our tax code is one of the most complicated in the world, with volumes and volumes. I'm inclined to think it's a good thing.
Australia is sort of leading the way in saving public journalism.
I think what certainly has happened is Facebook and Google have become all powerful. These companies are really dominating and controlling the media world and controlling the social world. So maybe cutting back some of their powers I'm finding it hard to express here, but, they were free riding. Let's say they're free riding off the hard work of journalists such as yourself. Why should they benefit entirely? There should be some cost associated with disseminating other people's work. So, I don't have a very strong view on this, but I think it's going to happen, and I think the Australian government will stand fast and strong on this, and it's going to be interesting to see which other countries. I think France is planning to follow suit very fast afterwards. So, I think everyone's watching, and I think it's going to happen. So it will be interesting. I wonder if that could become a further catalyst for share price weakness in those big big stocks, Google and Facebook.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what are you looking at this morning, Michael? Because Asia-Pacific markets are relatively directionless this morning. And what are you looking at?
So what's caught my eye is certain of these, the hottest sector at the moment are materials. And I was looking over the last couple of days, like soybeans, and it's quite fascinating to see the strength we've seen in some of these, in copper, corn, even of late, oil's been is coming up. So, and I saw lumber. So a lot of the commodities are certainly over the last, let's say, 5-6 weeks have been rallying hard. And I sense that China is actually doing okay. Domestic China, and it seems to me that China could be the growth engine. It's been the world's growth engine for a while, and I think it somehow has done well out of, or it's recovered very quickly from this coronavirus. And I'm watching China. I think you can see the Shanghai Stock Exchange has been going up. Are they big buyers of, Australian iron ore, which has, kept the Australian economy from completely imploding. So that's been fascinating. So I'm watching China. I'm watching its economic numbers seem to be quite strong, which I found quite surprising.
Just picking up on what you mentioned about commodities, I was just listening to another trader talking about how he believes you should buy commodities when they're on the up because of the 2-year cycles. Mm. What do you think?
Yeah, I think certainly with my experience trading futures and futures in commodities, these are very momentum-driven type of instruments. And once they start running, they tend to trend quite interestingly. So yes, it's hard to. You only need to buy these commodities if you anticipating future a strong economic rebound. So I'm assuming that the numbers are strong and from China, hence there's a strong bid for these kind of commodities, and I think that will continue. So I think there could be more legs in it. I'm interested in gold at the moment and Bitcoin because the US dollar continues to get pummeled. It continues to weaken, and
did you say? Are you looking at Bitcoin?
Yeah, could you believe?
No, I can't.
Yeah, I traded Bitcoin for the first time 7 years ago, and I bought it $100 and I sold it $200.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd done really well. Little did I know that it would go up to, 20,000. So, I've actually started looking at it again and buying a few, I wouldn't say a few Bitcoin. I've been buying pieces of Bitcoin.
Right.
Because I think it's interesting because you've seen the Fed's going to keep interest rates low for many years to come. I don't think inflation is going to be a factor. There is no inflation anywhere in the world, Rob.
Thank you so much for joining us, Michael. If you can hear me, that was a wonderful Michael Berman joining us all the way live from Australia. Michael is CEO and founder of an AI-driven analytics platform meant to provide traders with actionable insight called Psyquation, joining me live in Money and Me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.